I'm just going to take a couple minutes of your time here, set the stage. I had been praying about the direction to go with today's service, and I've been asked a couple of questions prophetically, more so than any other. I'd planned to deal with them this morning, but the more that I have sought the Lord today, I'm going to give you just a couple of things, and then I'm going to finish those out tonight. You don't have to look very far to know that there are a lot of things happening. And a lot of people got up this morning, took a big sigh of relief because September the 23rd passed. I think one of the things that we forget, Isaiah 46, written over 700 years before the Messiah came, the first time Jesus came. Isaiah said in verse 9, "Remember the former things of old," and I like what he said, "for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me." Glory. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." See, we forget that He's God, and there's none like Him. That He has set this thing from the end back to the beginning. And He's referring to the beginning of mankind because He had no beginning. The Old Testament prophet described to us where God came from. He said, the Old Testament prophet said, "I looked and saw Him and He came from Teman." The word Teman means nothing or nowhere. God came from nowhere. Why? Because there wasn't anywhere for Him to come from. The old preacher used to say, coming from where there was nowhere to come and standing where there was nowhere to stand, he reached out to catch something where there was nothing to catch, took the anvil of His word and struck it against the omnipotence of His power, caught the sparks therefrom and flung them into the star, into the heavens, and called them the stars and named each one and said, "I am God and there is none like me and no one can compare to me." He has mapped this out from the end to the beginning. And I think the problem is that Jesus tried to differentiate. When I started all this in Matthew 24, when He talked about that nation shall rise against nation, and He talked about the things that would come, but He said, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet." He's talking about the end of the world. That doesn't mean that the end of the church of the living God is not yet. Here's the problem. People ask questions and they can't differentiate. When the Bible talks about the end, what is He talking about? Well, two things. First, the end of creation as we know it, the end of the world as we know it. And He also talks about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for His church. And you can't put those two together and mingle those two together and come to a common understanding of what He's teaching in the Word of God when you try to say that, well, He's talking about the end, He's talking about the rapture of the church. No. He said the end is not yet. And I know you're entitled to your own belief, but I'll tell you what I believe, and when you become pastor of this church, you can tell them what you believe. But right now, you don't even have a vote. I'm not being arrogant about it. I believe that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Who's them? The dead in Christ, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The word "caught up" is our modern word "rapture." I believe in a literal rapture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are now right in the middle. You know, the UN Peace and Safety Day fell on September 21. That's the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. They're declaring peace. We're hearing a lot of talk about peace. And I hear people say, well, they're coming up with some peace settlements. Oh, friend, you are so far off base. Your problem is you watch too many videos on YouTube and you spend too much time on social media. Listen to people talk about things that they don't know what they're talking about. And you hear them say all kinds of things. Well, the Temple Mount doesn't matter. Of course, it plays into it. It matters greatly. And I'll share tonight, Lord willing, the importance of the Temple Mount area and what's going on there. But the truth of the matter is, by the time all of that happens, we will be out of here. It's not that the end of the world has come. The church will be raptured out. There'll be a 7-year tribulation period. The first 3.5 years will be a time of tribulation, but the last 3.5 years will be the great tribulation, a time of suffering and woe and heartache as wrath and judgment is poured out on this world. Why? All because of the purpose of the attack against the people of God and against Israel, the apple of God's eye, and the very fact that man is trying to gain control of the throne of this earth. But I've got good news for you. The same Jesus that calls us out, the same Jesus that calls us into the clouds to meet our loved ones in the air, that same Jesus, according to Zechariah, shall put his foot down on the Mount of Olives and it'll cleave in twain. He'll walk into the city of God and sit on the throne of David and rule with an iron rod. That day is yet to come. And we say, well, but preacher, we're hearing all these things. Well, one thing, you know, I appreciate all of, I got a lot of friends that's involved in prophecy. And I listen to all of them. And, you know, we heard a lot about what happened on the 23rd. The only problem with that is, for a sign to be a sign. Now, you going to hear what I'm going to say? For a sign to be a sign, you have to see it. NASA told us it was there. You couldn't see what happened yesterday. See, the Lord's not interested in giving just scientists a sign. He's interested in giving the world a sign. Now, I don't know what you've been told, but I want to clarify this. Jesus wants everybody to be saved. Everybody can be saved. We all have sinned. We all come short of the glory of God. I mentioned last week about the 2 silver trumpets in the book of Numbers chapter 10. And how I believe prophetically that falls in line to the fact that one trumpet is the nation of Israel. The other trumpet is the church. Why were they silver and not gold? Gold is a picture of deity in the Bible. Silver is never perfect. Gold is perfect. It's God's picture of perfection. Silver has imperfections, impurities in it. And because of that, we know that that's a picture of us, even as the church. No matter how hard we try, we still have imperfections. And we're still not pure. But that doesn't mean that we can't sound the trumpet in these days and tell men and women, you need to get ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Too many of you are living in fear that you're so afraid that the world is coming to an end. I'm not afraid the world is coming to an end. I'm afraid that we've lost the vision to tell people in an hour they think not. And like a thief in the night, the coming of Jesus is right at the door and people aren't prepared to meet the Lord in that day. And they're not prepared to surrender their life to God. Somebody's got to go out and tell them this thing is coming to a close, yes. But we see the signs all around us. We see things that anybody can see. But nobody wants to talk about. God planned it from the end to the beginning. Now, preacher, why would you say that? You honestly don't believe There's changes in the church. He tells us the obvious signs. He starts really in the book of Thessalonians. Let me go there real quick, read you something. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled. See, here's why I know people aren't right with God. They're too troubled about this. They're too troubled. They're troubled about every little thing that happens. They get bent out of shape. Oh, does this mean he's got... You know what it is? That tells me you're playing church and playing with God. And you're trying to wait till the last minute and the last second. And get right with God right at the very end. And you're playing around with God. And the truth of the matter is you're troubled because you're not right with God. Look at me. I'm no better than any one of you. But I promise you, if the Lord doesn't come today, I'll go home, lay my head on my pillow tonight. And I may be troubled about some of you. And I may be troubled about situations. But one thing I'm not troubled about. I'm not troubled about Jesus coming again. I'm not troubled about the fact that I have to worry, am I right with Him? Or trying to do what's right? You can have all that fear removed, and it can be removed today by coming and surrendering your life to God and saying, I'm going to put the Lord first in all things. You're not shaken in mind. You're not troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us. Troubled about what? As that the day of Christ is at hand. So he's talking about the rapture of the church, not the end of the world. And he's writing to the church. And this is what he says. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That's where we're at. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. What's the mystery of iniquity? The mystery is you can't tell truth from fable. Everything you hear is a mystery to you. Is that accurate? Is it true? Is it not true? You know, John Kennedy, when he was president, said no matter how big the lie, repeat it often enough and the masses will regard it as the truth. See, all you have to do is have it liked a million times, and it's truth. You say it enough, even if it's not true, it's true. It's like many of you that say, I believe that preacher. I believe that preacher. But if you sit down and took an analysis of your life this week, and you look down at the things you did for the Lord, and you look down at the things you did for pleasure, you'll find out you probably won out in the pleasure category over the things of the Lord. I'm on my way out, people, one way or another. People don't like this kind of preaching. They don't like it. See, they want to come when they want, don't when they don't. Live for God when they want to. You know. They want Christianity of convenience. You are a Christian 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 days a year. We have to live the life and live for God, not live for others, but live for God every day, every hour. For in the hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. It's already working. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. That's the Antichrist, by the way. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power. Now watch this. and signs and lying wonders. Deceptive signs. See, there's some things, for example, when people said Jesus is coming September 23rd and he didn't come, that's a deceptive sign. That's a lying wonder. So then what happens to unbelievers? They say, whew, made it. Made it. See, they said that and they're supposed to be in the church. Well, how do you know what to believe and what not to believe? How do you know if he's really coming or he's not coming? That is the spirit of iniquity that already abounds, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Do you know how far truth has been flip-flopped? We're blessed in this area to, within just a couple, 3 hours drive, have the Noah's Ark and Creation Museum. Both of those are institutions of biblical truth. But yet, when Noah's Ark, during their celebration, dedication week, I'm sure that you probably noticed the media loved to focus, again, the Midianites. They loved to focus on the atheists that were there. And they had this guy as their spokesman. You've probably seen him in the news. Now, I'm just quoting what he said. He said, "This is dangerous to the minds of people." He said, "Because somebody might believe this." And he said, "We've come to shut this down." And I kid you not, you search for it, you'll have no problem finding it. His quote exactly: "This is immoral." Hey, I thought he's supposed to be so smart. How does building a replica ark categorize into the category of being immoral? See, do you see what he's done? He said, if you teach children anything other than evolution, you are now immoral. But living in sin is not immoral. Lying is not immoral. Sin is now suddenly right, and righteousness is called immorality. Hey, it's not immoral. It's truth. You're about like the little girl one day that the teacher tried to embarrass her in front of the class. The teacher said, "Do you believe what I'm saying about evolution?" "No." "You probably believed that Jonah was swallowed by a whale." "Yes." "Well, how are you going to prove it?" She said, "When I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah." The teacher said, "What happens if you get to heaven and Jonah's not there?" She said, "Then you can ask him." It's flip-flopping, inverting what God intended to be. Let's get this right. It's inverted in the church. God is now not the most important. God comes after the fact. And churches that preach righteousness and holiness and preach the Old Testament and the New Testament, telling us that it is the Bible. So many now say, "Oh, the Old Testament's done away with." No, it's not done away with. It has been fulfilled through the law of grace. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. I was approached by an individual this week. They said, "You're a legalist." That sounds so sweet. They're in a church. "You're a legalist." "Why am I legal?" "You believe the Old Testament." "I do." "No, it was all done away with." I said, "Is that right?" "That's right." I said, so it's okay to kill? It's okay to steal? It's okay to bear false witness? It's okay not to honor your mother and father? What's wrong with those things? It is the church that's now chiming in with this because we're so afraid that we'll step on somebody's toes and drive somebody off. And I heard a preacher say this week, what we are trying to do is we're trying to keep from offending people and trying so hard to do that. And we're flattering them into hell. And we're convinced that we would offend them away from heaven if we stand on what thus saith the Lord. Listen to me and listen right. The Lord Jesus Christ alone can save you of your sins, and you cannot be saved until you repent of your sins and trust in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and come to Him confessing your sins, believing that Jesus is Lord, and coming and saying, you alone can change my life and save my soul. There's no other way. Not by a church, not by a denomination, not by a preacher. Oh, it only comes through Jesus Christ. No other way. And he said, with that deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's the church. They receive the truth. They don't love the truth. The love of the truth. There's people that come in here one service, get mad, leave, and say, I'm never going back. Because they do something that I don't do as a Christian. They believe something that I don't believe. Hey, the famine in the end time will be for the knowledge of the truth. What the devil wants to do with every one of us is drive us out of every church that preaches the truth. I'm not exalting man. I'm exalting the Lord and His Word. His Word is truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. When we sanctify them by the truth, it'll stand. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I'm setting the stage for this. Two questions I'll address tonight. If God gives me time and gives me liberty, and I won't say if you want to hear it, because if God gives it to me, I'm going to preach it if you want to hear it or not. Will there be an end time revival? We've got revival coming, and that's a question I get a lot. Will there be an end time revival? And what is happening in Jerusalem? What is going on with Israel? All the things that take. You've had, Israel's been painted in a horrible light. Horrible light. They've been painted as, you know, with all of this going on in Damascus and Syria, they've been painted as a cruel people that are not compassionate. This week I heard from a friend in Israel, and he said, we had the greatest experience. Said a woman that was just beyond the border in Syria. She's Muslim in her village. She was to give birth to a child, 29 years of age. And because of all of the conflict, there's no hospitals in that area of Syria. And said she needed a C-section. And she told her husband, I know it'll be against the leaders of our village, and I know it'll be against our teaching, but if I can get to Israel, they'll help me. And her husband said, let's cross the border. He rushed across the border with her. Immediately, the Israeli military met him, gave her a military escort to a place where she could get help. When the little girl was born, she said, never among my people would I have found such help? I would have died. The baby would have died. In thanks to what you have done, I'd like to give the baby a Hebrew name. I will call her Sarah. You watch the media and they'll say they're a bunch of baby-killing tyrants that just wipe people off the face of the map. No, they're not. They're defending their territory. They're defending their territory. We need to pray. We need to pray for the people that's caught in the middle of the conflict that have nothing to do with it. Just because they were born in a particular place, they really don't even know what they believe. We need to pray because the eyes of our Jewish brothers and sisters, many of them have been by a small group, have become Messianic Jews, that they've accepted the Messiah. But just a small fraction. The others are still clinging. Clinging to a hope that will eventually lead to their downfall. And in the middle of all of this, you sit here this morning saying, well, we're going to go to lunch here and we're going to do this and tomorrow I'm going to do that and tomorrow I'm going to do this. And it doesn't even cross your mind. The saved may be out of here before this service comes to a close. Now, I'm not troubled about that. I'm so excited. I am so excited. I'm about to get everything God promised me. I've got more stored up there than I have here. It's just about payday, Tim. I don't know the day nor the hour, but I'm about to cash my heavenly check. I'm getting out of here. And if you know the Lord, you can go too. And if you don't know the Lord, you ought to come to know Him as your Savior. He doesn't love me more than He loves you. He wants your life changed. He wants to do a work in your heart. You need to turn to Christ and you need to do it now.